it may appear to be good, if the Lord is not there, it will not be successful. And I don't mean the matter of successful as far as numerically, or the matter of successful as far as economically. That is proven to be not true in this world. A lot of churches are grown, and a lot of churches have a lot of money, and God's not there. But I'm not talking about this temporal life. I'm talking about heaven, eternal benefits. I'm talking about life-changing places. And a lot of times we get our buildings, and we got our programs, and we got our how-tos, and what to do's and what not to do's. And they write their curriculum on how to grow the church and how to make the church prosper and how to have days of purpose. And they have all of these things that they figured out on paper. But my dear friend, it don't matter what you've got on paper and what kind of program you implement, what kind of activities you produce, if the Lord's not among you, God's work won't get done. Oh, there'll be a lot of activity. We got a lot of activity in the church today. We got a lot of busyness in the church today. But there's not a lot of holiness and God working in the church today. So let me tell you, how can I overcome? How can I overcome? Let's say, how can I overcome what overcomes you? How can Israel overcome? Caleb stood up and said, hey, we are well able to overcome it. That's confidence, isn't it? Pretty confident when he can say, after 40 days of looking at the land, we are well able to overcome. How can he say that? Because, first of all, he was looking at God and not the giants. He was looking at God and not the giants. The Bible tells us they said the children of Anak are there. And then in verse 33 of chapter 13, and there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Caleb knew they could overcome because he was looking at God and not the giants. Here, these ten, all they could see was the bigness of the opposition. All they could see is the giants of the children of Anak. And when they got there, they were just overwhelmed with how big these children of Anak were. And they looked at themselves and they said, there's no way we can defeat them. We're not soldiers. We're not people that's been in battle time and time again. We're just slaves and servants for the last 400 years. We just come through the wilderness, and we didn't have to fight for deliverance. We didn't have to wing our way through Pharaoh's army and defeat them with the sword. We're not able to do this. Look how big they are, and look how little we are. But you see, Caleb, on the other hand, was looking at God. He was saying, look how big God is. Why, these giants don't stand a chance in God's fight. Now, there's no way that they can defeat us if God is with us. Ain't that what I believe Paul said? If God be for us, who can be against us? Right, it's like the old black preacher was preaching. He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And he's preaching that at a preacher's fellowship. And he preached a little while, and I say, if God be for us, who can be against us? And about the sixth or seventh time he said that, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the old black preacher sat down and he said, the deacons. But let me say this. I'm saying to you tonight, it don't matter how big the giant might be, if God be for us, my dear friend, it's not that we won't have any opposition. That's not what he means in that verse. It's not who can be against us. If we're indefensible, no one will come against us. Oh, it's showing if God be for us, it don't matter who's against us. If God be for us, we're on the winning side. We have no reasons to worry about defeat. We need not to get the white flag of surrender and wave it, because if God is for us, we are on the winning side. God never gets in anything that fails. Now, when he got in Noah's boat, it was sure to float. When he got in Moses' bush, it was sure not to be consumed. When he got in the little ark of bulrushes as Moses as an infant, it was sure not to be harmed. When he got in the fire with the three Hebrew children, they were sure not to be burned. When he got in the den with Daniel in the lions, it was sure that he wouldn't be defiled. When he got in the well with Jonah, it was sure that Jonah would not die. I'm trying to say, when he got on the Mount of Carmel with Elijah, the prophets of Baal, they stood no chance. When he got out in the wilderness with John the Baptist and he preached, the Philip and all of those dignitaries, they were sure to hear the gospel. When he got out there with Paul on the Mount of Mars Hill, he was sure to be success. God does not get anything that fails. That's why we need to be on his side. Because he don't have any failure. You see, they should have looked at God and not the giants. That's what David did, wasn't it? You remember when David was fighting? Rather, he was a shepherd boy. And his brothers were out there in the battle against the Philistines. And his daddy whistles and calls him and says, go take some bread and cheese and some provisions down there to your brothers. They're fighting. So David gets his little old mule, and as a young teenage boy, he heads off to town. And he rides into town. He finds the soldiers where they were, and he goes in there, and they're sitting around there, and they're eating lunch. And all of a sudden, Goliath comes out and begins to blaspheme God and Israel. And David does a double take. He says, are y'all hearing this? What in the world is going on? And they say, oh, yeah, we hear it, but we can't do nothing about that. Have you seen that man out yonder, how big he is? We can't do nothing about that. And he said, oh, but God can. I believe we can do something about it. And then his brothers heard it. And his brothers were critical. His brother said, oh, David, who you left them few little sheep back here? You see, his brothers weren't willing to do what David was willing to do. So they figured they'd criticize him. David was willing to do something, and they weren't willing to do something. So they was going to criticize somebody that was willing to do something. We still have them in the church today. We still got people in the church today that they criticize people that do stuff. Now they say this man can't do it. Now they can do it, but they won't do it. So the people who can do it are criticizing the people who won't do it, but the people who can won't, and the people who can't do. So the people who can, they'll criticize them. And they'll sit back there and they'll say, oh, she can't sing. She can't sing her way out of a wet paper bag. Look at her out there. Why in the world would they have her up there bellowing out that hymn? It's embarrassing the church. But they can sing, but they won't sing. And then you get somebody and they say, I tell you what, I don't know why the preacher lets him get out there and go on visitation and represent our community and our beloved congregation. I mean, he ought to get someone more dignified, you know, someone that has more of an outgoing personality, one that looks better, but they won't never go. And they'll criticize the people. The people who can won't, and the people who can't do, so the people who can will criticize the people who will. And David says, well, fellas, I'll be honest with you, I believe I might can do something about it. Well, they rush him up there to Saul. Saul's sitting up there wringing his hands as well, and he's just glad anybody's willing to do something. So he says, oh, David, he says, oh, if you're willing to do something, I'll help you out. Let me go get you some armor. And he said, now this is how we're doing it nowadays. This is the 21st century. We're doing things a little different. Now, I know that I've heard that you've used your sling and the old methods, but we got new methods here. So he puts his armor on him and he puts his helmet on him. And David says, and this is a good statement, he says, I can't go with these. I can't go with these. He said, I'm just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. I'm just going to, can I just, without doing any harm to the scripture, says, maybe he said, I'm just going to stick with the old paths. I'm just going to do what got me here to start with. And that's what we need to do, don't we? We need to stick with what God has said. I ain't got time to chase rabbits, but let me just say this. We don't need the modernism. We don't need to change. You say, but don't you see how the churches that have changed their music, how they're doing a lot better? You know, they're doing a lot better. They got rid of the old hymns and they got more praise and worship. You know, they got rid of the song lyrics and they got drama teams. They got rid of the pulpit and they got just a little bar stool up there and the preacher comes out there and gives us a talk. Oh, dear friend, when they tell me they want to change their, they say, oh, preacher, we haven't changed our message. Our methods have changed. I always get a red flag. I always wonder, what's wrong with the old methods? Well, it was the old methods that brought revival to the country. It was the old method that got them to church where they're at to start with. It's the old method that the people got up and prayed and preached and God used and got it got us where we're at today. We don't need to revise the old method. We just need to reinstitute it. Just put it out there and keep it going like it used to. So David said, I'm going to do it the old way. So he goes out yonder and he stands in that field and here comes Goliath. And David comes out there and Goliath is insulted. He says, why in the world would they send a youth out here to me? He said, I've been a soldier since I was a youth. He said, boy, I'm going to take you and feed your flesh to the fowls. And David says, I don't know if he chuckled or not, but maybe he chuckled. He said, oh, Goliath. He said, you come to me with spears and swords. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. He said, oh, Goliath, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at God. He wasn't looking at the giants. He was looking at God. And I want to ask you tonight, dear friend, what giant is in your way? What is it in your life that seems like you just can't overcome it? Seems like every time you turn around, it's there. Seems like every time you try to do something for God, it's there. Possibly tonight, it'd do you good if you just start looking at God and quit looking at the giants. See, I'm going to tell you something tonight. The giants will get you in trouble every time. Oh, you can't defeat them. I can't defeat them. Oh, but greater, as we mentioned, is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world. So Caleb said, you can overcome it if you look at God and not the giants. And then secondly, he said, you can overcome it. The reason he said they could overcome it and the way you and I can overcome it is if you look at the blessings and not the battle. You see what they said? They said over there in verse number 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land and the cities are walled and very great. They were saying, there's no way we can fight and defeat these big cities with walls and what have you. It's just, the battle is too great. We'll never be able to do that. We don't have the ability to fight a city such strong as they are. But what they failed to remember was the blessings of God. You see, it was way back yonder that God took a little boy, raised him up in Pharaoh's home, took him out in the wilderness for 40 years, and through a miraculous event, the bush that wasn't consumed, brought him back and stood before Pharaoh, and there for a period of time, God brought the plagues and sent out the children of Israel with a high hand, the Bible says. They spoiled the Egyptians. They went out with name brand clothes on. They didn't go out there with secondhand clothes and yard sale shoes. They went out there with the Egyptians' clothes. They spoiled them, the Bible says. And God brought them through the wilderness. And God brought them to the Red Sea. And he parted the Red Sea. They walked across on dry land. And then the Egyptians came and God flooded them. God told them to go look at the Egyptians. You'll never have to face them again. And they went out there and there was no water. God brought them water for the rock. And then there was no food that they wanted. And God brought manna down from heaven. And then the water was bitter. And God brought sweetness to the water. And then again there was no water. And God brought water. Oh, time and time again, God gave them whatever they needed. They never went without. They never, my dear friend, I had to go out and beg and ask neighboring countries to help them. Those tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Israelites, God brought them through that wilderness without the help or aid of anybody else. And why would they think now that God could not help them with the battles that they had to face? Because they failed to remember the blessings of God. And all Caleb said, just remember how good God's been to you. And sure enough, we can overcome it. His blessings haven't dried up. His benefits haven't ceased. God blessed us before in the wilderness, and God will bless us now. He'll help us overcome it. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of Christians A lot of Christians tonight, you know what they forget? They come into a battle and they forget the blessings of God. They come up against something that they just don't seem like they can defeat it. It wears them down and they begin to question God. They begin to worry. They begin to fret. They begin to get all upset. They go get their prescriptions filled. And I'm not being harsh or against prescriptions, but I'm saying they look for every answer outside of knowing that God can do what needs to be done. I'm not trying to be hard and mean, but I'm saying, dear friend, when you face a battle, it'll do you good if you'll remember how God has brought you through it before. If you remember how God has paved a way when there was no way. How God rescued your soul when you were lost on your way to hell. And He never had to beg from the world to give you what you need. We've always had a gracious God in heaven that was well aware of where we're at. And my dear friend, as the song says, there's no need to doubt Him now. He's blessed us and helped us time and time again. And when the battle rages, it's not time to begin to worry, but it's time to begin to remember that God has helped us time and time before. It's not time to lay down and quit. It's time to rise up and remember what God's done. Oh, when you begin to remember and reflect, it'll do something for you. It'll inspire you. It'll give you strength. I'm telling you, battles seem to, a lot of times, get more intense. Sometimes it's the same battle. And it appears to us to be more intensified at times. But I promise you that if you'll begin, as the song says, to count your many blessings, don't just count them in groups of 10. Don't just count them in large quantities. Count them one by one. And when you begin to count your many blessings one by one, you'll find out, you know, God can help me again. God can come through. He can help me with my battles. I'm going to tell you something tonight, dear friend. Maybe you're here this evening and your biggest battle is you have no peace. You have no joy. Inside it seems void and lacking. You've never been saved. Can I tell you the greatest blessing you'll ever experience is when you ask the Lord to save you and forgive you of your sin. Oh, I'm telling you, there's nothing that can fill that void or that emptiness, but the Lord can. He can change your life. So He says, we can overcome if we look at God and not the giants. We can overcome if you look at the blessings and not the battles. And then thirdly and lastly, He says, we can overcome if we look at the promises and not the problems. The promises and not the problems. Oh, these are big problems they're facing. These people are, they're not combative. The children of Israel, they're not soldiers now. They haven't had war and fighting. So this was a great problem. And they were up against it pretty hard. Something they never faced before. Something they never had to go through before. Now they got a great problem. But you know what? This is all that Caleb could hold on to. This is what really, out of all the other things that we mentioned tonight, this is what just charged Caleb's battery and what just gave him determination was he knew that this was the promised land. This was the promised land. God had promised it to him. This wasn't just some wild hair adventure. This wasn't just some of Moses' crazy leading. This was a divine promised land. And that's what gave Caleb the heart determination to know that he could overcome it because he had God's promise that they would get it. You see, this land of Canaan was not for them to go in and try their best to defeat and conquer. This land of Canaan was for them to go in and God would conquer it through them. They wouldn't have to go in there and do it on their own. God would give it to them if they would just go by faith and take it. Because it was the promised land. They had God's word on it. And that's why he knew that if he just followed God, all the problems that they would face, they could overcome them. If he would just be faithful to God's word, if he would just do what God said, the problems wouldn't go away. They just wouldn't walk into Canaan and all the Amalekites, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites and the Mennonites or whoever elseites was there. He knew that they wouldn't just lay down their swords and say, come take our 40 acres and our mule, you can have it all. He knew that wouldn't happen. He knew that the problems wouldn't just vanish. But he knew he had God's promise. The problems won't go away. But he knew that amongst all the problems, he could hold on to the promises of God. And I'm going to tell you something, my dear friend. You can face a dark, stormy world if you hold on to the promises of God. Oh, that's why we read great stories about great missionaries and mamas and like the Wesley, Susanna Wesley that raised them boys. We read about Miss Fanny Crosby that wrote those songs. And we read about the Livingstons and the Moffats and the Adeline Judsons. And we read about the Hudson Taylors. They didn't have the modern conveniences as we talked about today. They didn't have cell phones and Skype and bondage and the internet. They didn't have jet airplanes that could get them to the field, and if anything happened, they could get back. It took a month to get on the mission field in a boat. And they didn't have nice buildings and supportive communities. They had hard times, but the reason they kept going on because they had a promise in their heart that they were obeying the Word of God. And I want to tell you something, dear friend, tonight. How can you overcome it? If you just look at the promises of God. Oh, I like what the preacher said one time. He said, it's one thing when you get the promise, but it's entirely different when the promise gets you. I'm going to tell you, when the promise of God's word reaches out and you're not struggling to hold on to it, but you're resting in it holding on to you, there's a vast difference. I like what D.L. Moody said. It was talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit and talking about living a life for the Lord. And he said this. He said, for years now, I would go down to the river to get buckets of water. He said, but it was a happy day when I let the river carry me. And if you ponder that thought, what he was saying was, for years I just tried to do it on my own effort and worked and strained. But oh, when I just rested in the promise of God and let God carry me. He said, there I found strength. How can you overcome it tonight? Look at God and not the giants. Look at your blessings and not the battles. Look at God's promise and not the problem. And you, as Caleb, can say, we are well able to overcome it. It don't matter what it might be. You're well able to overcome. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Come to the instruments. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ.